It's 11:06 on WSIC News Radio, and you're listening to We're Just Saying with Senator Vicki Sawyer and David. If you'd like to be part of the show, 844-STUDIO-4, and we are streaming on the WSIC News app. We're getting big time over here.
An app. That's a big deal.
Available for download in your app store in Google, Android.
Yeah. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
Well, there really should only be Apple. Yeah. There really should be only iPhone.
Yeah.
Because, and can I just say something?
Yes, please. I hope you're going
My biggest pet peeve right now is the green bubble in my text strings.
Amen.
Now, individually, fine. But in my text strings, it ruins everything. I can't send videos. Uh-huh. I can't send links. I can't send pictures. And I am a believer that people who are dyed-in-the-wool Android users, and I have confirmed this with some of them, the only reason they do it is to tick off iPhone users.
Oh.
They are like... Thank you. That's the only reason they do it. Because I have played with Android phones. They are not better.
Right.
Now, I recognize Apple's taking over the world. We'll all be subservient to Apple one day. I get it.
Uh-huh.
But you're not being contrarian if you're an Android user. You're being annoying to my text strings.
100%.
Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest.
We have got to add that to the big idea bucket. So no
electioneering.
Yes, no electioneering at polling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. No signs. Right of ways.
And persecution of all Android users and group tests.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Offense to your Android users listening on the WSIC News Wrap.
No, there's offense.
There is offense.
Yeah.
That's just how. But it's like, and it's only a problem in the group text. Only a problem 100%. In the group text.
So we have a group text that a bunch of our Raleigh friends are in, and somebody in that group text kicked out.
Really?
A very significant member of the group text because of the green.
Well, you know what? Hey, you know, life's about choices.
It is.
Life's about choices. And if you're going to be an Android user and you're going to be in a group stream, then you risk getting kicked out.
So why do not Android users or Google or whomever is the software behind their messaging app, why do they continue to not allow it to seamlessly sync with iPhone? It seems like the technology is there that if I want to send a PDF in a group text with a guy or girl who's still in the green, in the 90s with a green text, that, you know, it seems like that could be written into the code to where they could accept an actual PDF.
Well, I'm sure that it probably could, but you know, there are monetary reasons why they don't want that. I mean, I think maybe they figure if you, that'll be it. I'm sure there's a money reason behind it.
Yeah. I don't know. I fully support you on this one. David
Well, thank
Coble.
You very much. Thank you very much. We're just building platform after platform.
Yes,
here.
We are. We are.
But we do want to say that even though you do not welcome the texts of Android users, you do welcome their votes.
Correct. That is correct.
So you still support their voting for you,
lifestyle
choices with their phones.
Yes, yes.
That's
Hate
fair.
The sin, but love the sinner.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
There you go. See, good rule of thumb.
That's it. That is perfect.
digressing here.
Yes.
Going into the weekend, you know, so March Madness.
It is coming down.
It is.
And it's exciting. I'm so happy for NC State fans.
Yes.
They were have been a miserable lot for a long time.
Yes.
The refs were always against them, and, you know, Chapel Hill was cheating. And all of the things. I mean, they were just bitter, bitter people, but still loved their beloved pack.
Exactly. And I can sympathize with that because being the fan of our illustrious university, Go Niners.
Go Niners.
Who have not even sniffed the NCAA tournament in 2 decades.
Yeah.
I believe we're hitting it now, or almost 2 decades.
Yeah.
I understand the bitterness.
Yes.
I understand the hate. I feel it deeply in my bones.
Yeah.
So I am actually very thrilled to see NC State having this kind of success. I am pulling for them the whole way.
Men and women.
Yes. That's
so
huge.
Cool.
That is huge.
Did you read or hear that the latest NCAA women's basketball with Iowa, with what, Caitlin Clark. That show had more viewers than any NBA basketball team televised game in like the last 5 years.
I did see that. And what is this coming in everywhere?
I know, I love it. Because we're on fire today, David.
But
yet,
I
isn't
did
that cool?
That. Well, it's very cool. And also, to be fair, NBA is a boring boring 100%. Sport to watch. I did not 100%. Used to feel that way. I cannot sit down and watch it anymore. Yeah. I just can't do it. The women's game, though, especially has gotten much more exciting than what it used to be. The talent mm-hmm. is amazing. Caitlin Clark, obviously, just unbelievable. Sure. Phenomenon. I don't know if you saw that game when they played against LSU, but she was like shooting from half court.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's just amazing. Absolutely. Yeah. But I did see that. But it just, you know, hopefully, you know, and every sport, I think, goes through the cycles.
Sure.
Maybe with the exception of the NFL right now, because the NFL, I don't think they generally as a whole, I don't They're think lose juggernaut. Views. They're just a juggernaut mm-hmm. right now. But baseball has been through it. NASCAR, obviously, mm-hmm. is still in the midst of it, I believe. NBA going mm-hmm. through it now, because I think people enjoy sports, but people also enjoy stories. People right. enjoy characters. People right. enjoy personalities. Mm-hmm. And right now in the women's game, there are some great personalities. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin Clark is a phenom. She's mm-hmm. a story. And that draws people to say, even if I'm not a basketball fan, even sure. if I'm not a women's basketball fan, I need to see this right. because everyone's talking about yeah. it. So everybody wants to be able to have the conversation.
Yeah.
So they're it's drawing and drawing in views. And I think it's awesome.
I think it's so good. It's so fantastic. And it also highlights that political point that we've made all along in the General Assembly is that we need to protect women's sports.
Absolutely.
Like if you were to, did you think Caitlin Clark would have this type of notoriety and success if they were allowed men to play against her?
No.
She would go from the top of her profession or her chosen sport to mid-range.
Yes. Oh, I mean, and you're 100% correct, because this is a story. This is a story, you know, for women's sports.
Yeah.
About a woman who is being highly successful in her field. Mm-hmm. If she is playing against men, it's not happening. It's just simply not. And again, yeah. I say the NBA game is boring and everything like that. You put an NBA player on Caitlin Clark, she'll be lucky to get a shot off. That's just how it is. Bigger, stronger, faster.
Right.
It's not sexist to say that.
No.
But so in those situations, she would not be having that success. We wouldn't have that story.
Right.
The girls that are just loving her and inspired by her
yeah.
and getting into the game, getting active, enjoying this, aren't seeing it. So there's a detrimental effect to that all around.
Right.
These things need to be seen and done. And you put men and women's sports, and you have been a leader on this, keeping them out of women's sports in mm-hmm. North Carolina, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. These things aren't happening.
Right.
And so, and it is to the detriment of women that this
yeah.
that stuff like that happens.
So yeah, you're going to sacrifice the social well-being of one person who identifies as a man to a legion of thousands of young girls who are looking up to Caitlin Clark right now and getting inspired to be the next basketball stars. It is just, sports and women are so important. It teaches us how to work together. You know, we need those type of challenges to understand, and later in life, and success in sports actually does correlate to success in your business life. I mean,
yes, it does.
Obviously, I was a top athlete at one point.
Well, yes.
Not to look at me now, you can't
you
see,
were,
but
you were. I mean, you were a very competitive softball player.
Yes, yes, very competitive softball player. Played softball until I started becoming a politician.
Yeah.
I think I miss those
That'll
days.
Ruin everything.
It does, man. It's like kids.
I was a weekend warrior myself on the softball field
for
a period of time. But
in
then
Candler?
You know what? Candler had some good softball.
I'm sure they did.
The Buncombe Baptist League was a stuff of legends when I was there.
Look, y'all, no joke. As a girl who grew up in Winston-Salem, I did not mind heading east to go play ball.
Mm-hmm.
But when I head west to the mountains, y'all just grew those girls a little differently.
Yes, we did.
They were strong, and I was intimidated, and we never won.
Exactly. That's what we do in Candler Town.
That's what we do.
You're listening to We're Just Saying on WSIC. We'll be right back.
Stay with us. We'll have more of We're Just Saying with NC Senator Vicki Sawyer after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Back to We're Just Saying on WSIC News Radio with Senator Vicki Sawyer and David. If you'd like to be part of our show, 844-STUDIO-4. We are streaming on the WSIC News app, so you can go out there, download that, and take us and the rest of the WSIC lineup everywhere
yeah,
you go.
We're almost like a family. We got a General Assembly family on WSIC.
I know,
for
we
sure.
do. Absolutely. You add the home ad show in with that,
yeah.
and then cooking with gasoline.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, do have a little bit of politics to talk today.
Do we?
We have a little bit of politics.
A little bit.
And it does kind of go back to you and I Maz alma mater. We were talking about, you know, our basketball wilderness that we still remain in today. Uh-huh. But made the news this week with the university actually, you know, finding itself you know, hopefully gently trying to correct our Student Government Association on mm-hmm. campus. The Student Government Association had passed a resolution basically calling what's going on over in Israel between them and Hamas an Israeli genocide. Mm-hmm. It was genocide against the Palestinian people. And mm-hmm. part of their resolution included they wanted to right the legal and moral wrongs UNCC has committed against the Palestinian people.
So what did our beloved Niners do to harm Palestinian people?
Other than let them exercise their free speech rights, I can't find any harm or okay. anything. I mean, basically, I guess, you know, and to be fair, this is happening in student governments across 100%, the country.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these younger kids have been completely brainwashed
kids these days.
On between TikTok and what they there's no discernible, you know, there's no critical thinking or anything like that.
Yeah.
What college is supposed to be about, free exchange of ideas, but critical thinking, things like that.
Yes.
Some of that clearly not taking place.
No.
And but I will give the university credit. They came out and said, we will not be enacting upon this. Part of the statement said that the Student Government Association leadership has been counseled several times on the university's commitment to maintain institutional neutrality and encouraged to consider that their requests of administrators. This SGA resolution does not align with that commitment and will not be acted upon by the administration.
Good.
So good for them standing up against you know, things like this mm-hmm. Coming from student government associations. I mm-hmm. applaud the university for doing that, because you know, had this been Harvard, they probably would have been embracing it and throwing it, you know, just, I mean, it, you know, because a lot of these higher institutions are completely brainwashed themselves. But it's nice to see Charlotte's pretty well grounded.
If it was Harvard, I'm sure that they would have to have a plagiarism exercise of their resolution.
Exactly. That would be part of it as well.
Is this something you actually wrote yourself, or is that? Yeah, I'm fascinated about what these kids or these young adults think that this accomplishes.
Yeah.
Like, where's their, I guess they're still at that age where idealism controls and emotion controls your output. But at some point, maybe just we have the gift of being a little older now, we look back and on these actions and go, where's your win?
Yeah.
All right. So you made this resolution. Yeah. You feel better about the resolution, whatever the resolution should be. But your student government has no say in anything that happens. This is a international issue.
Right.
UNC Charlotte has nothing to do with it. Being on campus and knowing the administration of that campus, they are welcoming to all people, right? They're not singularly, you know, putting one person over another based on race or any of that stuff. So, like, where's your win, kid? Like, you've just basically severed yourself and identified yourself as an activist group. And so now people are not going to take you seriously, especially the administrators for the Student Government Association. So, so yay for you to feel good for that one moment. But the ramifications of your actions are going to basically neuter the power of the Student Government Association at UNC Charlotte. I mean, how dumb.
Well, and you would think that the fact that one of the sponsors of this resolution was the Young Democratic Socialists, you think that would be a signal. Hey, maybe we don't take this up. But you know what?
Yeah.
Fine. You have the right to do it. Fine.
Sure.
But I agree with you. It's just like, where is your win in this? And mm-hmm. I really think at the end of the day, none of these things that pass through these that get passed through these SGAs and things like that are about practical impact. I don't. They're about feeling good about yourself. Mm-hmm. They're about a self-righteous bone that you have in your body.
Right.
See what we did. See how woke we are. See
right.
how concerned we are and everything like that. And it makes them feel good.
Yeah.
It's all right. You're a little bit better than the rest of us who don't agree with you. Good on you. Take that feeling and go with it and try to get a job.
I wish that I had like Bill Gates money, because I would set up a travel to Palestine day for all of these kids who are standing up for that and see truly what Palestinians think of folks who are gay.
Well,
or
exactly.
Folks who are trans, or how do they treat their women, and what are you really fighting for and standing up for?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, maybe just get out of our bubble and go travel the world and see how amazing America is. We are the most fabulous country in the world, and we have the best opportunities for every citizen here. And to sit there and slam us over and over again just shows me how narrow-minded and small of your world is, mm-hmm. go find other countries and see how not great it is for your causes.
And it's kind of like during the election, right? When you get all those far left celebrities that say, you know, if Trump's elected, if Romney's elected, yeah. you know, they've been doing it for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, leaving America. How many of them ever left?
I don't know.
None?
Not enough.
None. I mean, all these people say they're going to leave and then they don't.
Right.
Because it's like, look, you want to go to, and it's always funny to me is just like, we're going to leave. We're going to go. And uh-huh. then you don't. Well,
yeah.
why didn't you go? Because you know deep down there's no place you'd rather be.
Right.
There's no place that's going to give you more freedom. There's right. no place that's going to give you more opportunity to prosper, to be what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just fashionable now to run America into the ground
mm-hmm.
Because it makes you seem enlightened. Oh, we're not one of those Americans.
Right.
We're not like them, right? Yeah, we're American, but we hate being Americans.
Right.
And we're sorry that we're Americans because we know we've done so. Now, look, America is not a perfect country and
sure.
no one's claiming it is, but no country is perfect.
Sure.
No country. And so if you're going to look for a country that is the least imperfect that you can find, America, you're going to have a hard time not being America.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe it's because these kids that are in school now never went through a major terrorist attack on our shores like 9/11.
Maybe.
They were not born then. They were born like recently after that and have not really had any external pressures. I mean, do you remember when we were kids hiding under or doing those nuclear drills and we would hide underneath the desk?
I do remember that.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Terrifying.
It was. Like the desk was going to be a magic shield
yeah.
against the blast coming through our school. But no, I remember being in elementary school getting underneath our desk.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, those were real Cold War after effects that, you know, permeate through my brain. And maybe that was, you know, maybe these kids just haven't had those pressures in their lives to understand how great America really is and how fragile it can be if they continue to try to undermine it as a whole generation. And I love the new TikTok trend when they talk about Generation Xers, which you and I are. And there was one about like, I drink out of a hose. And they were like, why did you drink out of a hose? It's like, because we weren't allowed inside.
We weren't
allowed inside. You were kicked outside and we had to stay outside with no sunscreen, no water bottle, just our buddies and a street light to tell us when it's time to come home.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. We were feral kids running around.
We really were.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, I mean, I enjoyed growing up that way.
I did too.
And I had this conversation, my wife and I had this conversation not too long ago because our kids are very different. You know, we kick them outside the house and everything like that, but you know, play outside and everything like that. But their social networks and groups mm-hmm. are so much online these days
right.
and through phones and things like that, they don't, you know, and a lot of their friends are, you know, 15 miles away.
Right.
And so it's not as easy to run over to the friend's
sure.
house and things like that. And it's like, you know, we think, hey, we should have them outside more. And I think we should, but it's like, kind of like, maybe the world's just different now.
It is.
And it's just the social interactions are
right.
different. It's like, yeah, I might kick them outside, but there might not be any other kid out there.
Right.
Right?
It's like so they're out just there like by looking themselves. At the window like, Dad,
exactly.
let me back in.
There's no one out here to play with. But I do think at the end of the day, it's a perspective that it's just that this generation has. And they are
of
so
comfort.
Bombarded of comfort, of ease.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, the pandemic, right? I mean,
yeah.
that didn't help, right? Because they stayed inside through that.
Right.
But I do think it's just generation. And maybe things are just different now. Maybe, you know, maybe the way we did it is just not, I mean, it was good for us. Maybe it's not the best
way
now. I'll acknowledge that.
Yeah, probably so. But, and maybe it was some of our helicopter parenting that, you know, has allowed these kids to do that. But going back to this just whole trend in this age group of, and I'm sure it's just a small portion of those folks who are this, like just in our own age group, there's only a small portion of us that kind of make us go, oh my God, what are you doing? What are you doing? So maybe that's really what's happening here. But I do see that, you know, COVID was tough, but man, there's a lot tougher things that could happen than just having to sit in your comfy home playing on the internet with your Lululemon, you know, outfit
Lululemon.
And your Stanley Cup.
What
and
is
your,
a Lululemon?
A Lululemon is a brand. It is a very high-end brand of apparel that a lot of women loved wearing because it shapes them correctly as they go to the gym.
Shapes them correctly.
Well, it's flattering.
Flatteringly.
Flatteringly.
Do they make men's stuff? I mean, I made to
they
look into this.
They make men's stuff, too.
Does
I'm
it
surprised.
Shape us flatteringly?
I I have no idea because I do not own one piece of Lululemon.
Well, my children do. Literally, just until you just spoke about this, I would have thought Lululemon was like a special kind of like actual lemon.
You know, like a hybrid lemon
that grew on some kind of tree.
No, really. You know, there's a conspiracy about why the founder of that brand named it Lululemon.
Really?
Total conspiracy I'm saying here.
I embrace it. I embrace it.
You embrace?
The more unfounded, the more conspiracy, the more I embrace.
The more you embrace. Okay, so yeah, all right. Apparently, the founder of Lululemon is very racist against folks who are Chinese descent.
Okay.
And Chinese folks have a hard time in Americans saying L's.
So that's why he named it that?
That's the conspiracy. So because it's hard for them to enunciate
L's.
So they say Ruru Women and not Lululemon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. Interesting.
Straight out conspiracy theory.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean,
I saw it on the TikTok.
Well, then it must be true. Then it must be true because you can't put things on TikTok if they're not true. That's like one of the rules.
And that's where these kids are getting influenced about their anti-Israeli sentiments and their pro-Palestine stuff is they're getting influenced through these folks who probably are the same one who made up that whole Lululemon story.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, we're not getting any help from our president on that. He basically issued a edict to Israel about doing things better or face the consequences. And
they're
it's just like
running to their crazy parts of their base to get
well,
more support.
It's election season.
I know.
It's election season. You're listening to We're Just Saying on WSIC News. We'll be right back.
With us. We'll have more of We're Just Saying with NC Senator Vicki Sawyer after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying on WSIC News Radio with Senator Vicki Sawyer and David. If you'd like to be part of the show, 844-STUDIO-4. We are still streaming live all through the WSIC News app.
I just heard the coolest thing.
What?
May 24th. Is that right, Bill? Todd Starnes, radio superstar.
Really?
The new Rush, I guess you would say. Is going to be recording at WSIC Studios in Statesville right after our show.
Really?
I'm totally going to try to get on a show.
I think you should.
I mean, I think we should start a groundswell of support to allow me and you to be on Todd Starnes' show, the national footprint. I mean, this is radio excellence right here.
Well, I worry about that.
Why?
Because if he's there and prepping while our show is going on, the intimidation factor.
Dude, I'm not intimidated.
That's going to come up to... I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about him.
Oh,
I mean, in order, I mean, following our show, right?
Because
right now I'm sure he doesn't know who we are, but if he's in studio prepping and he hears this excellence coming out over the WSIC News, and he has to follow that and not only follow that, he's got to do it in the same studio we were in.
I know.
That's a lot of pressure for somebody.
I can see how he would be completely intimidated by our excellence.
I can too.
I know.
Honestly, I mean, how could you not be?
Yeah. I'm already going to pick an outfit out. I'm ready.
You're going to have a Todd Starnes outfit?
Yes, I'm going to have a Todd Starnes. No. I don't wear anybody's logos but my own, by the way.
Okay.
I really don't. Only UNC Charlotte.
Well, yes.
And my own campaign logo gear. But I don't. That's
well,
what, you
and,
know,
and the junior, the insurance dog.
That's Sawyer Insurance, right.
Yeah,
but
you wear that.
But, you know, I know a lot of women who like the Lululemon and the Louis Vuitton and all that other stuff. I purposely don't buy that stuff because I don't like advertising for anybody other than me.
See, look at you.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're very self-aware.
If I'm going to advertise, it's better use of something that's going to help us in the elections or Sawyer Insurance or our beloved 49ers.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. That's my daughter got upset with me because I wouldn't wear an Appalachian t-shirt when she went to App.
Well, hey, you know what?
I mean.
You didn't go to Tweetsie.
No,
You don't have to wear their stuff.
I know. But you know what else? We totally were lamenting the fact that UNC Charlotte basketball team hasn't made it to the Final Four.
Well, hasn't made it to the tournament.
The tournament. Oh, that's right.
In like 20 years.
Oh, okay.
They have made it to the Final Four. That was just 4 decades ago.
Okay. So boo. But there's a whole host of other athletes at UNC Charlotte.
Yes, there are.
Who have done great things. And one being the women's softball team.
Yes, they are machines this year.
They are. And they were actually the 2023 regular season champions for Conference USA.
Exactly.
And yay!
Yes, well done.
And they're playing now. Their season is going on now. It's so much fun to go watch them play. I know baseball's good and it's got a rhythm, but man, softball is fast. And
baseball's not good.
Yeah.
Baseball is profoundly boring.
Except for the Savannah Bananas.
I have seen some Savannah Bananas.
Did you see the center fielder for the Savannah Bananas on a pop-up fly catch the ball and do a backflip at the same time?
I did not.
Oh, my gosh.
I've not seen anybody do that since I used to do it.
Why do I think that's not true?
What I used to do is catch it and then fall on my backside. I didn't do a backflip. I did a backflop.
You did a backflop. Okay, yeah, I did a backflip. Okay, yeah. So I think Savannah Bananas are doing really good to making the baseball fun again, but women's softball is absolutely rocking.
Oh, yeah, and they do a great job out there. If you've never been out to a game, you should go. It is fantastic.
Hey, I celebrated a win last week a little bit.
What'd you celebrate?
It wasn't that great. It was like an intellectual win.
Okay.
And probably nobody knows about it but me. That's why I'm going to talk about it on the radio show.
Well, it is your show.
Okay. For the past 4 years, I've heard our constituents' complaints. Actually, 6 years. I've heard constituents' complaints about the DOT, mm-hmm. North Carolina Department of Transportation, and they ran out of money in 2017, which totally backlogged everything. They are currently not delivering on, as try as they may, not delivering on promises they've made 20 years ago about new road construction, and they keep, you know, the whole nine yards, right? And I'm trying to, at the very beginning of this thing, is like, okay, just help me understand your budget so that I can understand where the money's going and why these things are working out. And they kept having this disconnect between the General Assembly and the agency, and some people in that agency maybe had told the General Assembly central staff that they don't understand math.
The central staff doesn't understand math.
The central staff doesn't understand math.
And probably
math.
Vis-a-vis you as a senator, yes, don't understand math.
I'm pretty sure the agency calls me that woman. What is that woman asking now? What is that? But you know what? That is my job, is to ask for transparency and accountability. That's a $6 billion enterprise, and they ran out of money 5 years ago. I think you still need to ask questions and continue to figure out where the money's at and why are these projects not getting delivered on time. And you can only use the inflation excuse for so long when you know this is coming up. I mean, it's not, the NCDOT is not a bad, mean group of people. So please don't do that. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that they speak in accounting terms in Middle English, like the language of William Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And we are talking like modern English.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, truly the best way I can talk about it. Like, you know, when you read like a Romeo and Juliet, you're like, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how DOT's budget is. So they have a new chief financial officer named Mark Newsom, and he came in and he's actually a certified public accountant, which has standards, professional standards that he has to adhere to. And he was so kind. He got up and he had mentioned and talked to and presented to us. Again, I'm sure it was very boring to anybody else who's watching it, but me, I'm smiling on the inside. And he admitted, you know what? We haven't been following the GASB laws. We haven't been reporting correctly. The certified budget that you guys send over here, I understand, and we try to follow it, but we basically just put it to the side, and then we run our different pockets and different budgets. There's not a general ledger, and they treat everything as a project. Mm-hmm. That is not the way accounting should be done, but man, the DOT. So have you ever heard that whole thing about girl math? Do you know what girl math is?
No, I don't.
Oh my gosh, where have you been? You must be busy working.
You know what, Vicky, I don't believe in labels. I don't embrace labels.
So
girl math or okay. Lululemons, I don't embrace these things. I love everybody.
Okay, so girl math is I really do think Belk's department store started out girl math. Girl math is
girl math when my wife comes home and tells me how much she saved at Target. We don't talk about how much she actually spent.
100%.
Okay, then I do know what girl math is.
You do know what girl math is.
I just didn't know it had a name. Okay, cool. So please continue. I feel better now.
So there's girl math, right? Like, I bought this and I may have spent this much money, but look how much money I saved. I think the same thing as like DOT is like girl math. Like they have their own language as like DOT math. They're like, it is not based on necessarily logic, right? And it's just crazy. So the coolest thing happened is the new CFO, Mark Newsom, sat down and said, you know what? You're right. We do have a transparency issue. It is going to take a lot to fix. I mean, this is an institution that's been around for a long time and they've got their own ways and there's 11,000 employees.
Oh my gosh.
11,000.
Wow.
Did you know that, you know, they have a vacancy rate of a certain percentage?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much that meant in lapsed salaries for the past year?
How much?
$300 million.
So the General Assembly's funding. You appropriated
money. Based on the amount, they call them FTEs, full-time employees, which is like bureaucrats' dream. Everybody needs another FTE. So in the budget, there is an appropriation for the amount of employees that an agency has. If the agency doesn't employ or is not at full employment, guess what happens with that money?
They keep it?
They get to keep it.
So there's
$300 million.
That basically would just stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they putting that into more roads?
That's the reason why I need this budget transparency and accounting. We need to be able to see where that money's going. And we need to, as appropriators, appropriate it to things like honoring the commitments that the Board of Transportation has made to our constituents across North Carolina to build these roads.
Yeah.
So I was with Town of Cornelius yesterday and exit 27, is it Atrium that is trying to come in and build a hospital there, but they do necessarily need an exit over I-77. The estimate for that's like $60 million or something like that, $60, $70 million to build that. Okay. That's one third of the last salary, or not even a third, like a fifth of the last salary right there. That can make a real economic impact to our community. Mm-hmm. And that same story can be told across North Carolina.
Well, I'm sure
so where's the money going? So anyway, so again, that's why I want to go back to this very boring, nondescript GovOps meeting or oversight meeting when the CFO came in and said, yes, I see the problem. It's not that you guys can't understand math, is that we're not doing a good job explaining to you where the money is going.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been what I've been in Raleigh and Senator Lazara and Senator McGinnis on the Senate side ever since January. And we're trying to figure out where the money is going because I want that money to go to roads.
Yeah, well, 100%. Well, and it's good. And, you know, the first step to fixing a problem is admitting you have it, right?
Yes.
So it's awesome that you have somebody there
finally.
You know, in a state to actually, you know, who will come in and say, yeah, we've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the accounting standards that he has to, you know, adhere to because he is a CPA,
right,
that only works to y'all's benefit. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's awesome that you're finally getting at least a little bit of transparency.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine as they continue to dig into this, what they're going to find.
Right.
There's no telling. I mean, you're talking billions and billions of dollars. If you can't account for it, who knows where it's going and what it's going to?
Right. Exactly. If you don't know where you're going, anywhere will take you there.
Did
I say that? Yeah, that says
if
that right.
If you don't know
where you're going, anywhere will take you there.
Did you just invent that, or is that an actual saying?
I think I'm going to take ownership.
Okay, do it.
But I shouldn't, because I'm pretty sure I didn't make that one up.
Well, as far as I know, you did.
Okay.
And that's all that matters.
All right, Team Vicky.
Team Vicky, always. Later, listening to We're Just Saying. We'll be right back.
There's more We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicky Sawyer on the way from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call now to speak with NC Senator Vicky Sawyer at 844-STUDIO-4. It's We're Just Saying on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying on WSIC News Radio with Senator Vicky Sawyer and David. Glad you're part of the show, 844-STUDIO-4. We're also still streaming on the WSIC app.
Yeah.
Take us anywhere you want to go.
I'm starting it.
Are you starting it?
I'm starting my Todd Starn stalking.
Oh, are you?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Boning up so you can act like you know what who he is and what he's talking about. And
I'm going to hit the follow right now. Got it. I'm following Starnes now.
See, here it comes.
Here it comes. He better be watching out.
Yeah, I know, right? You're going to be going in there. You really need me on your show. You know you need me on the show.
Yes. It's 100%.
And he's probably going to say, bless your heart.
He's probably going to say, You're right, Senator Sawyer. I do need you on the show.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's
going to
say.
We're getting called up to the big time, baby.
I really don't think that's happening, but if it did, it'd be pretty cool.
Oh, come on, David. You got to believe in something. I mean, we're becoming an age where it's hard to get excited about things.
That's fair. That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
So we got to be excited about taking over Todd Starnes' show. I mean, sorry, I said that out loud. It's just, you know, getting on a show.
There you go.
Once I get on, then our magnanimous personality will take it over.
Well, one thing I can get excited about is the fact that, unlike California, North Carolina has not mandated a $20 minimum
wage. Holy smokes!
Did you see it?
Yes.
So it went live, and they were doing all these stories, and like there was this one where where they walked into a McDonald's, there was not a person out there to be a cashier. All it was the machine, and then you had the cooking staff in the back, but there was nobody manning anything related to teller.
Did you know that there is one, quote, fast food restaurant that doesn't have to participate in the $20 an hour?
Who's that?
Panera. You want to know why?
Because it's rich people food? Democrats love Panera?
Yeah. So a rich dude who owns Panera is one of Gavin Newsom's biggest supporters.
See, I'm so shocked that Gavin Newsom would engage in cronyism like that. I mean, it just seems so unlike him. You know, he just comes across as someone who is just straight up, just honest, would never do anything like that. So I must say, color me shocked.
Now I do say that I pulled that information, I think, from the Pete Callender show. So I didn't come up with that crackpot piece of information on my own.
I would assume he's fantastic.
Although I might need to go on his show just so I can take it over too.
See, you're just intimidating everybody. I'm just going to consolidate the hours for you.
Okay. So let's think about this. So fast food, $20 an hour. So two things are going to happen. One, they're going to automate the delivery, which is what you're saying, right? So now you have to go in if you want a McDonald's cheeseburger, which God, I hate it, but I love McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
There's nothing to hate about
that. I know, but it's like bad food for you. But it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not, but I do. Man, that number 7, the 2 cheeseburger meal with a Diet Coke. So good.
See, now, if you want to feel better about yourself, then get the double cheeseburger value meal.
Why?
Because it's less bread.
Okay.
It's 2 less slices of bread. Okay. So really, you're being healthy.
Okay.
By kind of like, you know, when you go to Target and you tell us how much you save.
Yes.
As opposed to how much
you
spend.
That's girl math.
That's girl math. Employ
this
girl math at McDonald's.
Yes.
And you still are, you're going to save calories because you got rid of 2 pieces of bread. So it's about how you cut your calories versus how many you're consuming.
I've had similar conversations at the Senate lunch table in the General Assembly. And this is a couple of years back. So a little secret is that our buddies, we all try to go to at the same time to eat lunch because it's such a busy day. You don't get to see each other. So it's fun to hang out. And there's a member dining room that basically is out of like 1975. I don't think they've changed anything since then. I mean, the pink and the green and the worn out wood. It is nothing to be excited about. But it is fun to go in because we just sit there and hang out. Well, two of the people who hang out is now Congressman Chuck Edwards and current Senator Ralph Heise. Now, if you know anything about Ralph, he is a mathematician and he is good at it. Mm-hmm. And he's also a fan of McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
Chuck Edwards, on the other side, owns McDonald's and a lot of franchises.
Uh-huh.
He's a franchisee for McDonald's and has a lot of different places. They both live in the same area. So Ralph would make a game of going menu busting at McDonald's for Chuck Edwards.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ralph would sit there and tell him about how he would order and menu bust and get something for like 50 cents cheaper than he would. And Chuck would have to go back home and like work the menu and figure it out. And so it was always
now,
so much fun.
Now, describe menu busting.
Okay. So I think one of his menu hacks was, instead of ordering a bacon or sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, he would order a egg and cheese biscuit for like $1.50 and then a side of sausage, which was 50 cents. So it'd make his sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit $2, but the menu sold it a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit for like $3.25.
Wow, big brain.
And he went down on like the sauces and he figured out how many he could get and when.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was impressive. And you could just see Congressman Edwards now sitting over there going like, Ralph, come on.
You're costing me money, Ralph. You're costing me money. I love that.
It is so much. That table is so much fun. We have funny rules and we goof around. And like there's no House members allowed on the table except for John Bell.
John Bell is allowed? Mm-hmm,
the majority leader, John Bell is allowed. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. We've got some serious rules there.
Exclusionary.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we are. We are. It is basically high school. Yes, I get it. We make your laws. I understand. But really, it's just a camaraderie and comedic relief to have fun with people that during the day. And so it's just so much fun. So there is legitimately a Senate table, and that was actually started by the Democrats. And so when we took over... We took over the table, too.
Well, look at you.
I mean, schoolyard rocks right here, baby.
Well done. Well done. But it's interesting. I did want to pull this out since we did have a little bit of a sports theme going today.
Yeah.
The court case the ACC has against Florida State.
Yeah. No, Florida State against
ACC. Florida State against the ACC. Well, no, it's the ACC against Florida State. They're suing them to keep them from leaving.
Right.
And so there was a judge in Mecklenburg County, which apparently is the district that it's being heard in, actually ruled that the NCAA had followed their procedures and could sue them to stay in, to keep them from leaving.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
the judge probably went to Carolina.
Maybe so.
Conspiracy
I don't know.
Theories abound, but he probably went to Carolina.
Yes. This podcast brought to you by Conspiracy Theories USA, coming right here from Cornelius.
And Reynolds Wrap.
And Reynolds Wrap.
The best tinfoil hats are made with Reynolds Wrap.
I know. So this whole like college alignment thing is interesting in ACC. And I know that, is it Clemson now that wants to leave the ACC as well?
Yeah. I think, honestly, there's not going to be much left of the ACC. And look, there's just too many dollars involved.
But ACC is like one of the only conferences that had, what, four teams left in the Elite Eight?
Yeah, but that was basketball.
Well, what does that matter?
Football is what drives the train.
Oh, the
football. The money's in football. Now, there's a huge amount of money in basketball. Don't get me wrong. Sure. But it doesn't approach what there is in football.
In football. And that's for TV rights and all that
TV
other
rights.
Stuff.
That's, I mean, it is, the football is big business. Mm. And so these schools like Florida State and Clemson actually have really good football schools and good football tradition. They want to go to the conferences that have the big dollars and the TV contracts.
Right.
And that's not the ACC. ACC football doesn't really, you know, other than two true fans of the ACC, you know, not really moving it, but like everyone wants to watch Michigan, Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to watch, you know.
Really? Everyone wants to watch Michigan, Ohio State.
I don't care. Look, if you're a football fan, and it doesn't matter if you don't care anything about the Big Ten, you will watch Michigan, Ohio State.
I know that's a longstanding rivalry. I actually watched a documentary about it.
See, there you go. Thank you. Even you, but you are a football savant, though.
Oh, no.
You are steeped in football tradition and knowledge.
I'm a passive viewer, bandwagon fan. Actually, I should get a t-shirt, bandwagon fan.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm bandwagon at NC State right now, women and men, so...
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think so.
They're the only teams playing right now that we like that are from the state.
I know.
So there's no reason to that.
I know.
But yeah, but in football, you will watch teams that have absolutely nothing to do with the conference or the school that you went to. You know, Alabama, Auburn. Mm-hmm. Fantastic rivalry. Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, that's
great
good.
Rivalry.
That
I mean,
is
you
good
will,
one.
People will watch those football games just because of the tradition that comes from watching them.
Army Navy.
And Army. I will watch the Army Navy.
Will you? I was curious about that because
Army Navy's a great one.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And but you know, there's just big dollars in these other conferences.
Well, we'll see what happens. So I guess the court said what, that ACC was in the right and that they actually negotiated in good faith and they can continue the lawsuit
is what they're allowed to do.
Yeah, because it was a number about like 640 million or something. There was like 600 million
number.
Or something.
Yeah,
that Florida State is saying
number.
that they'll have to pay to get out or something like that.
It's insane.
Yeah,
it's lost TV it adds up. It's like lost TV revenue plus future ticket sales based off of them being part. I mean, it is an insane number. They make it very, very difficult for someone to leave.
Right.
Now, to be fair, some of these schools can got boosters that'll come up with the money.
Sure,
but you don't want to have obviously you don't want to pay that.
Yeah. Well, it seems like I don't know. I'm always not one to want to pick up my ball and leave and, leave a fight. It seems like, why can't they just all work it out and make ACC just as profitable and big as the SEC or some of those other.
Because nobody wants to watch Wake Forest football.
Oh, well, I won't tell Senator
nobody
Berger.
Nobody wants to watch Georgia Tech football.
I don't want to tell Senator Berger that a big Wake Forest fan.
And that's fine, but I think if you nailed him down, you'd ask him, what's the TV ratings on a typical Wake Forest game? No matter who they're playing, they ain't big.
Oh, that's so sad.
Well,
okay,
it is sad,
well.
But it's just like, look, you know, the SEC, has tons of schools that people outside being SEC fans will watch. Wake Forest is bad football. Now, they've been good, but it's not, but it doesn't move the needle. Georgia Tech doesn't move the needle. That's just not even Duke it's football. Not really moving the needle. Okay.
Yeah. Duke is one of the most hated teams out there.
Yeah,
basketball-wise.
I can't bring myself to hate their football. I mean, just because it's like, why kick somebody when they're down?
I saw even Chapel Hill people rooting for NC State versus Duke.
I hope so.
I know it was like the biggest, the most fun thing to watch those guys begrudgingly lament their own loss, but.
Well, Larry Sheen and I filled in on Representative Sane's show this week.
Oh, well,
and
that
we
was
had
fun.
That same conversation. It's tough to hate Mu U. It just is. It's tough to hate on NC State. It's easy to hate Duke.
Yeah.
It's so easy to hate Duke. Like, it doesn't require, you don't even have to look for anything.
Well, yeah. Okay. I can say that. I was a Christian Leitner fan back in the day.
Of course you were.
I was. I loved him. Bobby Hurley.
Yep.
Grant Hill.
Well, we're getting ready to get cut off. Thanks everybody for listening to We're Just Saying. Have a great weekend.
105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.